stuff. Now, that's the undertones, of course, but would you, if you were filing that away, would you file it under T or U, do you think? And I'm asking you because Breda Kev has just bought himself a new record box, like a flight case for his old record collection, and he's trying to put them in alphabetical order in the box, and he's having a debate in the house about whether the goes in front of, for example, the B-52s. Would that be T or B? Jane McLenahan will know all about it. Our resident nutritionist knows everything. She's just stepped in. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Carolyn.
What would you put? Where would you put that?
Oh, I'd put it under you.
Yes, me too, because...
Because otherwise you're going to have
everything
tea.
Under... Yeah, Breda Kev.
Yeah, too much in tea.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would definitely put that under B and just lose the for a while. I've been looking, Jane, at... Because I know your topic today is the sugar tax and artificial sweeteners and why they may be not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to look at hidden sugars in foods you just would never associate with sugar.
Yes.
And, you know, people were coming in saying Nutella, but you would immediately think sugar when you look at Nutella.
I think you would as well. I think there are certain foods. You know, I was driving down the Irma Road, as you do, thinking I was going to the other place, and then I thought, oh, no, it better be
I do that most days. Yeah. It's called daydreaming.
I was listening to you talking about soup and Nutella and, you know, some of those foods. And also I think we're much more aware of where the hidden sugars are. Mm. And I know somebody had mentioned, I can't remember who it was now, somebody had mentioned about fruit as well. So we are much, much more in tune with where the sugar comes from and how it affects us. Like, I remember years and years ago, I started... as a nutritionist, started my own business in 2001. And I remember standing up in front of groups saying, oh, we should eat less sugar. And nearly people thought I was growing horns or something, you know, because then it was all about fat. And now we have absolutely radically shifted. And I think we are so much more aware of the sugar, the impact it has, not just on, you know, it just used to be when we were kids, oh, don't eat too many sweeties because it'll affect your teeth. But we now know that the sugar affects our waistline, which is the bit we're always interested in.
Yeah.
Or for me, my backside.
Yeah. But it affects really all of your body, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Oh. And also we know that there's a big link between the amount of sugar that's in our diet and our long-term health. So things like our risk factors for cardiovascular disease. Also, there's been links between a high sugar diet and different types of cancers. You know, so it's not just about, oh, well, if I eat that now, I'll feel a wee bit rubbish for the next hour. It's actually
long-term. Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, food is so powerful. And the food that we eat today has massive effects on, you know, our health risk in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So just, and also, you know, by now, I'm not about a total diet overhaul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just about kind of nudging things in the right direction.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, with the whole sugar tax, we're all talking loads more about sugar. We're all much more aware of the effects it has on our well-being. But what are we replacing the sugar with is the other thing. So if we are taking a Mars bar out of our diet and we're putting in a banana, then that, although the banana still has sugar, it's got a lot less sugar than the chocolate bar. So that's a nudge in the right direction, big time. Or even if you normally buy like a family size bag of sweeties and eat it all yourself.
Yes.
And then you nudge to a smaller, like a normal size bag of sweets. That's a nudge in the right direction. So it's always about where are you right now? Because we've all got different diets and different likes and different dislikes and different things in our cupboards and different, you know, different people that live in our house. And that affects what we eat as well. So I always think if we can just be aware of what we're eating right now and reduce the sugar a little bit or increase the good fats a little bit or increase our hydration or our vegetables a little bit. So it's not like going on a diet. Because who wants to go on a diet?
Well, even the thought of it puts years on you.
Doesn't it?
But you were saying there that most people, you know, are aware of the sugar and all the rest. Yes, I think, you know, we talk a lot about it, but I'm not convinced that everybody actually knows what has sugar and what hasn't. I mean, there are obvious things. Like, we know that fruit has sugar.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm making a smoothie in the morning, I'm grabbing a couple of apples and a couple of oranges and a couple of pears, I'm thinking, I would never eat that much fruit in a day. That's a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
So I then thought, great, one apple will do there. Let me put some veg in instead. So we're aware that way.
Yeah.
But there are foods out there that trick us.
Yes.
For example, I was out for a dander with a good friend recently, and she's on a diet. And she's doing really well. And she was just telling me what she was doing, more exercise, watching what she was eating for her own health, because she had a couple of health issues. And then she told me about the yogurts that she was eating. And she thought that these were fat-free and that they were really good for her.
Uh-huh.
And I brought your name and I said, I don't eat yogurts myself, so I'm not quite sure about the brands or whatever. But I said, I don't think you're doing yourself a favour eating those yogurts. Maybe you should look at different, you know, Greek yogurt or, you know. So some of the yogurts are actually full of sugar.
Yes, they are.
Even though they say fat-free.
Yes.
And you think you're doing yourself a favour.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is the diet industry is a massive industry and it has a huge influence on what we eat and how foods look. So that idea that things are fat free or things that are, you know, they use terms like, well, Weight Watchers style foods or things like be good to yourself or whatever the brand is, but it's all kind of positive effects or positive thinking really. And then you think, well, if I put that in my trolley, then suddenly I am going to be amazing. But the big thing is certainly fat free. If something says fat free, often they're putting something in there to make it taste good because fat is lovely and also it helps satiate us. So if we're taking if the manufacturers are taking the food out of the food, they've got to put something else in there
to make it taste good.
Yeah. And often that is sugar. Mm-hmm. So I never ever buy anything fat free. Mm-hmm. Nothing fat free goes in my trolley. And
you don't need to go fat free.
No, you don't. And I think also that's the other thing about the other side of the sugar thing is for years we've been told that a low fat diet is a healthy diet. We need fat. Mm. We can become deficient in fat. We don't need sugar, but we do need fat. And we need things like, you know, our oily fish and our nuts and our seeds. But also a little bit of saturated fat in our diet is not a big major problem. It's when it's combined with sugar that it's almost like an explosive effect. Mm. But the thing also about the fat-free foods, especially yogurts and especially fizzy drinks, which is where the sugar tax comes in, is that the sugar often is taken out. So when you look at the nutrition panel, it looks happy days. This is below whatever it is, 5 grams per 100 or whatever it is. And you think that's great and it's got to be, you know, looks low sugar, looks healthy. But then read the ingredients. And I always say to people that if you read the ingredients list and it looks like a science experiment, just leave it. Leave it on the shelf. Leave it for the
supermarket. It shouldn't look like that, yeah.
No, it shouldn't. Mm. We should eat real, proper.
As natural as you can get, really.
Exactly. Mm. So you're right about the Greek yogurt, the full-fat natural yogurt. There's some great, you know, there's lots and lots of different Icelandic yogurts out there now that are high protein. And actually, some of them are not bad because they don't have artificial sweeteners. But just be a canny shopper and look at the label. Look at what else is in there.
Mm. Well, I'm going to have a look at the top 10 with you and then we're going to look at the sweeteners, the artificial sweeteners in a wee second or two. So don't move, everybody. Stay right there. Jane McClenahan is with us. We're going to talk more about the sugar tax and about the sweeteners, the artificial sweeteners after this. Katie Tunstall and Black Horse and a Cherry Tree. Andy in Lisburn said, you mentioned sauces earlier. I make sauce without adding sugar, but wondering, do the natural sugars in tomatoes and butternut squash, etc., present a problem?
No, I don't think so, because it's the added sugar, it's the amount of added sugar that we have in our diet that is a big problem. So we can get lovely sweetness from butternut squash and carrots and root vegetables and, you know, passatas and tinned tomatoes and things like that. So absolutely, definitely not. That's part of your vegetable intake, Andy, so keep doing that.
Do you want me to look at the list here?
Yeah.
The top 10 hidden sugars. I was disappointed to know that popcorn has 4 teaspoons of sugar. I mean, I love popcorn. That's me. I'm stopping that. Curry pot noodle. It looks like it wouldn't have sugar in it, but a lot of sugar in there. Chinese takeaways. We heard recently that some of the dishes that come out of a Chinese takeaway can be loaded. Energy drinks, obviously. Pure orange juice.
Yeah.
6 teaspoons of sugar in pure orange juice. That's mad.
So think about
it like
this.
You think you're having a healthy glass of juice?
I know, but imagine you've got a glass of juice. You maybe got like 4 oranges in there that have been squeezed. So that's 4 times the amount of sugar in 1 orange, and you drink it really quickly. So it goes into your bloodstream very, very quickly compared to if you were eating 1 orange, it's really slow release.
Yeah, that's amazing because if you're drinking a glass of orange juice, you actually think you're being healthy.
I know.
Crazy. Alcohol, obviously. Bread was on the list at number 5. Number 4, breakfast bars, like granola bars. 2 to 3 spoonfuls of sugar in a granola bar.
And again, you think that you're being healthy.
That looks healthy.
Yeah.
It really looks like you've been doing yourself a favour eating that. Yogurts, 6 teaspoons in some of the yogurts. So you got to be aware of that. Breakfast smoothies. Mm. That's just what I was saying there, putting loads of sugar into it. Sauces and soups.
Yes.
Like Andy was saying about using the tomatoes and for the flavour and the sweetness. But if you're adding loads of sugar to get your flavour.
Yeah.
Number 1 was salad dressing.
Wow.
I think that is horrendous because I love salad dressing. You wouldn't think if you're pouring salad dressing, you think you're eating well because you're eating a salad first and foremost. But then to pour loads of salad dressing over it, that's where the sugar is.
And also, I suppose it depends what your salad dressing is. So you can make a really nice, like I normally make one up and keep it just in the fridge or the cupboard and make it up with a bit of maybe balsamic or cider vinegar.
Some honey.
A wee bit of honey maybe, and also loads of mustard, like whole grain or Dijon or something. And that'll do over a few
days. And there's
nothing
in that then. That's brilliant. So tell us about the artificial sweeteners then.
So the artificial sweeteners, well, the deal is, so this new tax is like a two-tiered thing. So anything that has got over 5 grams of sugar in 100 mils is going to be taxed at 18p per litre. And anything with 8 grams or more per 100 mils is going to be taxed at 24p per litre. So the two drinks that have stayed the same, have not changed their recipe, are the original Pepsi and the original Coke. Everything else, all those other fizzy drinks that you'll see, if you look at the ingredients now, you'll see an artificial sweetener on there. Usually an artificial sweetener, not always. Sometimes it's stevia, which is a natural sweetener. But the thing about sweeteners is that there's a safe level of sweeteners that has been approved for use in food. But if we're drinking gallons of this stuff, you know, more than the average bear, then we don't know the impact of that. The other thing is, if we have children and they're drinking a lot of it because their body size is smaller, because they are growing, what is the impact of that? And there was some really interesting research that came out a couple of years ago to show that the more artificial sweeteners we consume, the fatter we are. So we're kind of thinking, right, if I have that diet drink, that's good, that's going to help me. But what happens in our brain is that we think that we're drinking something, we're consuming something sweet. So it sets up that same response with insulin. And
you're not withdrawn from the sweetness?
Yeah. So we were talking in the break about, you know, both of us used to have sugar in our tea and you kind of wean yourself off. And now if somebody gave me a cup of tea with sugar in it, I couldn't drink it.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of, it is about weaning and it is about nudging in the right direction. So if you're drinking 4 cans of fizzy pop a day, then reduce to 3. And just, you know, over the next month or so, just gradually reduce and look for different alternatives. I remember years ago, I had this client who, he didn't want to change his diet, but he wanted to change what he was drinking because he was drinking 6 bottles of Coke or fizzy drink a day. So what we did with him was started off getting him some cloudy apple juice and sparkling water. So he's diluting the apple juice with the sparkling water. So he still had something sweet and sparkling. Gradually weaned him off and then weaned him off that, and then he was just on water or sparkling water with sliced fruit juice and stuff in it. So there's ways that we can reduce our addiction to sugar. It's not easy. It is definitely not easy, but it's just making little changes.
But the more you eat of it, the more you want.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It is an addiction.
It definitely is.
Isn't it?
And you just end up craving. Even over Easter, we had chocolate in the house, and I was thinking, after that week of Easter when the chocolate was all cleared out, I was really craving it. And it's very quickly that we get back into that cycle. But the other good thing is it's very quickly to get back out the
get
other
out
side.
It.
Once
yeah.
you put your mind to it.
Yeah.
It's mind over matter sometimes.
Yeah. But just before you go, what about those sweeteners that people put in their tea or coffee? Do you know, you see people going, no, I wouldn't take sugar, but I want something to sweeten it up. So, and they maybe think they're doing themselves a favour whenever they put that little box out of their handbag and nudge a couple of those in. What are the effects of that?
Again, those are your artificial sweeteners. So your brain thinks that you're getting something sweet. There is a natural sweetener called stevia, which is a low GI or low glycemic index sweetener that is natural. It's still something sweet, but that can be something that you can maybe look for as a substitute to sugar or for artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, okay. Now, before you leave us today, Jane, I know you were telling me about Patrick Holford being in town.
Yes.
What's the crack?
So he is coming over next Saturday, which is the 28th of April. He's always great. He always has something new and innovative to say about diet and nutrition. And he's going to be in Stranmillis College between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. So not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And you can find out more on his website, which is patrickholford.com. He's talking about how to disease-proof your life, say no to diabetes, heart disease, weight gain and cancer support. So it's sure to
he's
be a
fascinating.
Good one.
He's fascinating. I love listening to him. He's, as you say, he's always got something new to talk about. Jane, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do it?
They can do it through my website, vital-nutrition.com. UK, or you can find me on all social media as Vital Nutrition.
Thank you. Jane McLennan, thank you very much.